Karaoke Choir. Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. Kind of a dreary day out there this morning, and cloudy and so forth. The sun's going to be shining after a while. Maybe we won't have too many storms, but it's so good to see the smiling faces in here this morning. It's always bright when you folks come together here and you have those bright smiles and cheery and so forth. We just appreciate that so much. It's real encouraging. Welcome to each and every one this morning as we come to worship. Before we even start, I can't wait till announcement time to tell you of all these folks over here on this row over here. These are my nephew and my nieces and so forth. These are all out. These four folks here are out of my brother Leroy, my next oldest to me. There's a couple of girls in there, but my next oldest brother up out of Leroy's family, and they come from Elkhart. No, and Canaan, Indiana. Yeah, gosh, you guys, what a surprise for you. And then, of course, you know most of the other family back there, Tammy and Ashley and Douglas and Shoddy and Howard. They come once in a while. Once in a while they come, you know. But we're so glad to have you. What a surprise. You know, the Lord just blesses you. You know, you never know what the Lord's going to do for you when you get up in the morning. You know, always surprises, you know. He's such a good God. That's what he does, you know. It's great to have a God like that. That, you know, I get up in the morning and I say, I don't know what to expect today, but I know it's going to be good. I never thought it was going to be this good today, though. Really? So we welcome all of you. Well, I'm going to share with you from Psalms 100 here. And it says like this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth through all generations. Let's praise this wonderful God that we have.
For him of worship this morning, I'm going to use number 186, singing the first and last verse, and Benny will have her. That's all I'm saying.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how good you are to us. You just bless us beyond our comprehension. We just, Heavenly Father, just never know these wonderful surprises you have in our lives day by day. And it just constantly and gratefully and graciously that you treat us in such a wonderful way and bless us as you do. Heavenly Father, with the psalmist, I just have to say, boy, it's a great day. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you now for this past week, the provisions you've provided for us and good things you've blessed us with and the health you've given us, Heavenly Father. You've helped us in the things that we were faced with. We had some difficulties, Heavenly Father, but you brought us through them. You always do, and we appreciate it, and we thank you. We're here this morning, Heavenly Father, from our hearts and our being. We want to thank you. We want to honor you. We want to praise our Savior, Jesus, Heavenly Father. And so during this service, we pray, Heavenly Father, you look into each individual life here today And Heavenly Father, any direction that they need in their life, we pray that Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit will help them to see it, that you will encourage them, that you will, when they leave this place, Heavenly Father, they'll be strengthened to be victorious throughout this week and all the things they do. Help us now, and dear Heavenly Father, forgive us where we might have fallen, where we might have fell short, Heavenly Father, where we might have even sinned. Yeah, let's use the word sin, because we do sin and we need that forgiveness, and we thank you for it. So now, Heavenly Father, we invite the Holy Spirit to be with us and among us, bless us and help us as we encourage one another and as we honor you and our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
For communion, I'm going to use number 220. 220, sing the first and last verse.
Like a woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord.
Couple things to share with you this morning. Once again, so good to see you in the Lord's house. Greeting to you. Over here, I meant to mention someone. Over here is Omer's granddaughter, and then you have three of your grandchildren here. And I always hesitate to say from because I'm you're from one of the Dakotas, North Dakota,
Carolina.
Yeah, I'm in Carolina. See, when you get 83 years old, you can get mixed up like that, you know, and it's all right. And, people expect that. And I just throw in some mix up once in a while just because you expect that. So it's good to see you. Good to see you. And Charles back there. Hello, Charles. Charles used to live down the road here to this place. And he moved over to Frankfurt. Now he comes back once in a while. So good to see you, Charles. And welcome to, hey, somebody back there, too. Come in. I hate to say come in late, but I knew I should have blown my horn when I come past your house. But we're so glad to have you you folks. Okay, this weekend's going to be a great weekend, busy weekend for us. Friday night, we'll be having a Good Friday services, 7 o'clock, so encourage others around you and be ready here and be prepared for that. Sunday, next Lord's Day morning, we will have sunrise service, 7 o'clock, 7 a.m., and then afterward, we'll have breakfast together. And then we'll have our regular service, 10 o'clock Bible study and 11 o'clock worship hour. So we're expecting a lot of folks to be with us that's not usually here. So we hope we will be all primed up for that and encourage them in great ways. And so look forward to that. It's always a good time. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, to remember that he lives for us and for you and for me. All right. No, the elders said because we're not sure about the weather today, and they're calling for storms coming our way, and we hope we don't have those. And Maxine was telling me when we started out the road this morning, I said, "Boy, I've got an older car. See, hey Danny, I got a Taurus, and so we're getting ready to come, and you know, and she's got this this Chevrolet thing, you know, and so she said, has your car got enough gas in it to make it to church and back?" I said, "Sure, why?" I said, "It's almost full tank." She said, "Well, it's going to storm. She don't want her car out in the storm." No. So I get in my car and I pull up there to the garage to let her in. She said, "You got a low tar in the back." I said, "Good, we got to drive your car." So we're in our car. Great. Oh, it's a great time. Great. So anyhow, no Bible study at night. That's what I was going for. No Bible study at night because we're not sure of the weather and we don't want to get blown away. But anyhow, what I told Maxine, you know, I said, "Well, just pray the storm goes somewhere else, you know." I was thinking about that preacher here some years ago, you know, they had a tornado and it was coming up the coast somewhere, and he prayed, you know, to go some other way. And then he got bombarded because they said, these people where the storm did go change, he said, "That guy prayed that thing over on us." Well, we just pray that the storm will just stay in the air and won't bother anybody, and we'll just have a good day. Let the sun shine and have a great day together. All right. Anything else going on you want to encourage you with? All right. Look forward, and as we've announced before, and you have the times for next weekend, so be prepared for that, and we just look forward to a good time together there. As we look at our prayer list this morning, we have several yet on our prayer list, and is your sister done okay now? She done better?
Well, she's a little bit better, yeah.
Yeah, boy, well, keep her in her prayers. And, we had three people that fell that we had on our prayer list last week that fell, and injured themselves, so pray for them. Anybody new on our list here that we have? Otherwise, keep this prayer before you, prayer list before you during the weekdays, and just go over and over them, and you know what's happening. Donna, we didn't expect her to be here today, but she was going to get operated on Friday, and so they postponed that something, reason or another there. They had some difficulty with something, and so she set it for Wednesday. Wednesday, okay. So remember her Wednesday. When you get up Wednesday, or even before that, pray every day for her, that strengthen her up, get ready for this operation. Isn't God good? You know, God hears your prayers and God works in the people. It's just wonderful how we can look around and see how God has worked in our people and the folks that we have, and how encouraged it is. We get reports back that some of the people that's on our prayer list that you brought in, that's somebody from work or someplace, and then we get a report back that they're doing good and the Lord has blessed them. That's great. So we have a good God, and we're so thankful for it. And we're glad to see Tina and Ron back today. They were sick last week and weren't here, and so we're glad to see you. And who else is back? God is so good, so keep all these in your prayers. And remember, our leaders of our nation, you know, our nation, boy, in the turmoil we got, well, we need to certainly undergird them with prayer and pray that the old devil doesn't work any stronger than he is, and let's try to get rid of him. And pray for our service people that they'll be safe, they'll be not have terrible battles and lose these young people that's over there on seas that's protecting our country. The people who's in the care homes, Agnes, we told you Agnes McKinney, she fell last week. She was in hospital at the UK. She's back to the nursing home and doing a little bit better, so we are thankful for that. Keep praying for her. Who else? Some of us. We don't want to leave anybody out, but pray for these people that came from so far over here. You know, I mean, boy, you're what is that old saying? You're I can't think now how it goes, you know, to drive all that way and so on to be here. You're looking, you're suffering for something hard, you know. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding, you know. But it's so great, and so God is so good, and so let's never fail to give Him thanks for the blessings He blesses with. Come to our prayer time.
For prayer, Ms. Martin, going to use number 253, saying the first and last verse, and Doodlebug will have her prayer. This whole thing.
Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Jesus is here to comfort and cheer. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him, He is my all. Answering when upon Him I call, tenderly watch Him lest I should fall. Just when I need Him most, just when just when I need Him most.
Father, we thank You for blessing us to be back in the lighthouse. We're thankful for all the many blessings You bestowed upon us. As we set this special time aside, we ask that You would touch the lives of those that are on the prayer list, those that were mentioned, whatever their unique situation may be, that You would touch their lives and may be made better. We're thankful for this building to have a safe place to come to worship. We pray, Lord, that You be with the ones that are in the military, that You keep them safe. They may need brought back home to their families. We're also thankful for Benny's family. If they can be with us this morning, we ask that You be with them and keep them safe as they travel. Be with Benny to bring the morning's message and forgive us when we fail thee. These words we ask in Thy name.
Amen. Amen.
Invitation hymn be number 325.
Praise God, He gave me a promotion. Now, it wasn't necessarily the promotion that I was hoping for. However, I know through y'all's prayers, my prayers, and everyone else that was praying for me, it is what He wants for me. And it's been a little difficult. Because it wasn't exactly what I wanted. It's been a long, arduous process in order for me to get this position in the first place. And I've been trying to just leave it in God's hands. However, just because you leave it in God's hands doesn't mean that you don't do what you can do. And that right there is mainly the issue for me. Because when I do what I can do, my pride starts to swell. Just that little bit that I do. And then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then my head gets so big I can't fit through the front door. That's why I wear a hat sometimes. So because I recognize that problem, music has a strong impact on me. And I've been listening to the same song over and over. Sorry, guys. Y'all probably going to be sick of hearing this. So I pray that the Lord pours peace upon you all the same way He has done with this song and helps you with your pride as He's helped me. I thought number one would always be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sands, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do life on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think I'll make Jesus my all in all. When I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I don't trust in him, I'll be less than a man. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. No, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Thank you, Michael. How true that is. As I told our kin folks here as they walked in, we might change the sermon today, but that never happens. You know, we just go with it, you know. Last year, if you remember last year, we started about 6 weeks from Resurrection Sunday, and we traveled with Jesus all along the way till we got to Jerusalem, until he was crucified, until he raised from the dead. But this year we have done a little different. We've just been picking out something to share with you, some thoughts to encourage you with, and some things that, this will be one of those odd sermons also. But the thought of it here, you know, if you looked at your bulletin ahead in there, dress up or clean up. What is Easter to you, you know? So some thoughts along that line, you know. Have you ever considered, noticed in the Bible how much the Bible talks about clothes? I'm talking about our personal wear, our clothes, but also it talks about being clothed spiritually and being clothed in Christ and so forth. So this morning we're talking about Easter, you know, to some people is just a long weekend. Go down to the beach or somewhere to have some fun. But Easter time is resurrection celebration of the Lord raising from the dead. What a wonderful, wonderful time to be reminded of what God has done for mankind. So share a little bit along that line this morning. Talking about the clothes, I don't know about you ladies, whether you've been noticing the ads this week or not, but boy, there's been ads of all kinds come out and on the news and so forth. And it's wanting you to know, you know, that JCPenney, you know, they've got 30-40% off of Easter dresses, they say. And likewise, the Target says, you know, if you order $35 or more, and they got some real low prices on these dresses and so forth for Easter time, and you can get shipping free if you spend $35 or more. And the Walmart says that, you know, you get free shipping from them. And I don't know about Kohl's. I don't know. Kohl's, I know they got a lot of discounts going on. I'm sure at Easter time they've got some real discounts, probably giving away all of that, what do you call that, some kind of money that they give away, you know. And Maxine gets one of them, boy, you got to go to get to spend that thing, you know. I don't know how, boy, they really got a thing going. But isn't something, you know, Easter always used to be noted for people dressing up and getting your Sunday best and so forth, and it's nothing. I always like, Norma Jean always promoted the ladies here during Easter time to wear the bonnets, you know. And I remember back in some of the churches, they used to have, they'd vote on who had the prettiest bonnet, you know. We never did do that here, but in other times I know they did. And who had the best looking bonnet and so forth. Our girls here, our ladies had some nice ones last year. We should have voted on them. But they were all, you know, they all would have been first prize. But dress up, you know, people, Easter has been known for dressing up. And I'm glad it's not like it used to be. You know, they had the contests and people would dress up and so forth. And you'd get voted on. You have the best bonnet and you get your picture taken with your bonnet on and advertise. If you had a bonnet on, then probably you ladies will have bonnets on next week. Some of you will. I know that. I know our graduate back there. She'll have one on. She always has a great big thing on it. And you'll get your picture taken. I'm sure that Robert will take your picture and he'll put it on the Facebook or however that thing that goes out on the line there. Everybody will see that thing. So it'll be great. So you have this. It's good. It's a great thing to have and so forth. But we think about Easter. We think about people dressing up and so forth. And friends, you can dress up and you can win the prize. But dressing up, Easter, when you're dressing up, doesn't clean you up. It takes something else. Resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed at Calvary can clean you up. So Easter, if we're just thinking about it, Easter may dress people up, but I'm quite sure, you know, that only Jesus Christ can clean you up. And Ray Russell, as most of you know, Ray Russell, he was down to Southeast Church at Louisville. And they hired on this young fellow at the time by the name of Eidelman. And he's doing a great work for him down there and so forth. But anyhow, when the young Eidelman came in, why, he was dressed in his blue jeans and his shirt tail hanging out. And Bob Russell said, if you went to Washington and you went to see the president, you went to see before the president, he said, would you go dressed like that? He said, well, he said, if my father was president, you know. And so, hey, who's our father? So we can come before him like that. A certain lady wrote years ago that her preacher sermon address covering up the four B's, the bust, the back, the butt, and the belly. And so it isn't something, it's kind of pathetic that somebody would have to preach on that. But I know a church in Williamstown, I won't name it, but all the lake people used to come out from the lake, from Cincinnati and down in there, come out to the lake on Sunday. And the preacher there had to get, the preacher there had to kind of get on them because some of them were wearing covers over their bathing suits to church, and they want to get back to the lake and so forth. So, you know, it's kind of ironic they have to do that. I read about a preacher of the Church of God, Church of God, the Good Shepherd in Massachusetts, and he had a sermon one time and said, stop dressing so tacky for church. Now, He had heard about this come as you are, you know, approach of the dressing, you know, dressing down on Sunday. But he says, dress for the church is getting too sloppy, he says. And when he scanned the pews and the rows and so forth, he's seen people dressed, you know, in their Sunday worst. You've heard people talking in the past, you know, when I was growing up, I'd hear people talking about they had in their wardrobe, they had this one outfit. That's their Sunday best. That was safe for going to church. And now we have preachers saying, boy, I mean, it looks like they're coming in their Sunday worst. And so they come in baggy shorts and flip-flops and sandals and tennis shoes and grubby T-shirts, and some even slide in the pews with their Sky Farm cup, you know, with coffee in it. And so I heard someone say the other day, and I guess they are, that they was at a church and they now have in your pew back there where the book racks and so forth, they have a rack back there. They have the, you know, like in your council, in your car, they have the little places where you can put your cups in there, bring your coffee and drink, and they give you coffee and so forth and all those things. And he said, boy, it looks like church is so different here. And dress up or clean up, he says. And so some church leaders are harping about that, what's taking place and how people are dressed and so forth. But the Bible, you know, it doesn't say really one way or the other about that. And I don't think it's really worth the time. And even when I was preparing it, I was, this probably isn't something we need to talk about clothing. Well, everybody dresses pretty nice and so forth and for the Lord and such. But I know it's a problem around the nation and so forth that's taking place, you know. But the Bible is kind of immaterial about that, how you dress for church. Somebody said, doesn't Jesus provide, you know, a fashion advice for that and so forth? But wasn't he a homeless Galilean and he walked around with flip-flops on? You know, I don't know about that. All I know is this. The one thing I do know about Jesus, when he was crucified, it says the soldiers that put him on the cross, it said that they parted his garments and so forth, but for his vesture, they had to gamble for that, throw lots for it, who was going to get it, because it was some value. So, some people can. I don't see Jesus dressing as a beach bum, do you? No. I see Jesus dressing as ordinary people do. Because the scripture says when people were looking for Jesus, they couldn't hardly tell who he was because there was always a crowd around, and he always was dressed, you know, as the average person. And so I think that's the way Jesus was and such. You know, I remember back when I was growing up, they said, you know, if you, and we had a fellow in Madison do this, Danny, and he got arrested several times. He's up on the street in his underwear, you know, they put him in jail two or three times. I know his name. You'd know him if I'd call his name. But I have to say, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that people wear it that much anymore? You know, you go up on the street, you go down to Walmart and more, wow. And such, and they come to church that way sometimes. Well, the Bible has a mixed message, and you could ask this preacher, you could ask this preacher, and so forth about it, and they don't have the right answers. So what's the Bible say about our dress up here? We hear the dress up, you know, when I hear that word dress up, it makes me think of my daughters. You know, my daughters, they used to dress up. They play dress up. Little girls like to do that. And they dress up to be somebody they're not. Sometimes I think some people play that dress-up game with the church. I really do believe that sometimes. They do. In times past, I've thought that there were some people just playing dress-up with the church. But I find this word clean up. And so I want to think about that for just a few minutes, to clean up. To get rid of the impurities, it says, to, for example, remove or clean up the trash, clean off the stains that we get. You know, we live in this world. This is a sin-stained world that we're living in. That's no secret about that. That's true. But we allow our lives get trashed up. Sometimes our lives are stained by sin. We live in this world where garbage is everywhere, trash is all around. Our lives are influenced by the culture of the day, and much of the day of our culture is nothing but trash. Nothing but trash. We get contaminated from the trash. We hear the politicians talking about all the atmosphere and the green things and all the things that says it's going to contaminate us. We're all going to die from it if we don't start green and all and so forth. But we're influenced by what the world does, and we get trashed in our lives. We get stained by sin. The Bible examples, you know, I read in the Bible here in chapter 16 of the book of Luke, and we've talked about this guy many times, so you know who he is, and there's a rich man. And it says that he fared sumptuously, and he dressed in purple every day. He just was, well, he was rich, and he was dressed. Nothing wrong with being rich, nothing wrong with dressing up. But this fellow, the story goes about this fellow, he must not have been a Christian, because the scripture says he landed up in hell. Rich man fared sumptuously. Said also there was a beggar that laid at his gate by the name of Lazarus, and said, Lazarus laid there, and the dogs come and licked his sores on him, and he died. And he went to Abraham's bosom. That's the scripture calls that's a place of bliss. There's something in it. Remember the rich man, he was clothed in purple, and he died and went to hell. But Lazarus, he, a poor beggar, laid at his gate. He died, and he went to the place of bliss. 1 Peter 5:5 says this. This is what it says here. Now, Paul is talking to the people and to the flock of God that he's talking to. And so we have everybody in there. And in chapter 5, he says, likewise, you younger. So, and I'm not putting down the younger, but that's what it says there. That's what that scripture says. And so he's been talking to the whole group of people. And so there's all ages of people. But he brings down in chapter 5 and he says, and I think he was talking to everybody. And he says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So here's the clothing that we need to wear. I could go into Colossians and I think chapter 3 and talk about all the things that it talks about that we need to be clothed in. We certainly need to be clothed in righteousness. We need to be clothed in Christ, and many things the scripture says, and we could spend a lot of time talking about the righteousness and clothed with love and with kindness and meekness and all those things. But the one thing I want to mention this morning is humility. He says, be clothed with humility, he says here. And to let our outward garb and our conduct be a proof of what's inside. That's what people says if anything is said about clothing. They say, well, it does make a difference what you wear. God looks on a heart only. But you see, humble, humility people, they will dress, they will live, they will do. Their lifestyle is according to their heart. Your heart is what drives what you do. Works your mind and heart together, and that's what you do. Humility. So the humility will let you then display really. Somebody said, you know, you can tell what a man is by the way he's dressed. Well, you used to maybe say that. You can't anymore say that about that. But certainly the scriptures teaches you can tell a person's heart by their lifestyle. And I'm going to say, as he says in scripture, how he's dressed. And I want to say that dress has to be with the spiritual things. I'm not saying all of that has to do with clothing at all. But yes, if our hearts are wearing humility, we will think very little of our clothes when we come to worship, you know. And I don't stand up here and look back and around and see who's wearing what. I'm just so glad that you're here. And that's what the Lord is interested in. You know, I don't think the scripture has anything there to condemn you and so forth. It does talk about, you know, the decency and in order and so forth and be good examples and such. But in our heart, if we're wearing humility, we'll think of our clothes as little as possible when we draw near to God. That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. And so today, I know that this is not a resurrection message, but it has conduct in there, and it has this, you know, because Easter time, next weekend, we will be talking about the resurrection. All weekend, we'll be talking about the resurrection. Friday night, we'll be talking about Christ going to the cross, and I'm going to be talking about the last seven words he used. And it's going to be good. And next Sunday morning, we'll talk about the resurrection and so forth. But also, we want to talk about those things that pertains to the person and their heart and what they do toward the Lord. If our hearts are wearing humility, what will it matter to us whether God is glorified The only thing that matters to us is God is glorified here and others are loved, you know. So, you know, I've told you the story about the preacher that dressed up like a beggar and sat on the doorsteps out there and not here, but at his church, you know, and the people come past and they just shoved him off. And when time for service come, he come out of the back room, step on the pulpit, and he was the beggar, you know. And nobody showed love to him out there. That's the thing. Humility. If our hearts is dressed in humility, we'll show love for that person out there. I think what is teaching us, it doesn't make any difference what a person is dressed in. If we bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ will do for him or her whatever is necessary for them to have and do. I liken that to a couple of scriptures that we have. And here's Jesus. And he confronts these men. And you're very familiar with them. We talked about the rich man. And we talked about Lazarus. And but here's a man that Jesus met. And he come out of the ship, and this guy was running through the tombs, it says. Running through the cemetery, Dan. Dan's run through the cemetery a whole lot. We used to have games in the cemetery when we were growing up. We'd go out there and sit on them tombstones, Dan, and we'd tell ghost stories to see who could stay out there the longest. And so Dan knows all about playing in the cemetery. But this man run through the cemetery, and he was naked. He was naked. You know, I wonder if the congregation showed up naked or the preacher would change his sermon. You know, but this man was naked. This man was naked. And Jesus came up to him. And Mark says that this man had demons. And then goes on and Mark says that Jesus, when he confronted with this man, and he cast the demons out. And you remember, anybody can remember them probably because he had many demons, and he cast them out in the swine. The swine run down the hill and landed in the water, and the water got in them, and they all drowned. Well, Mark says that this man who was running around naked, scaring people up, didn't have a house, lived in the tombs, and said the people came out from town because they were all upset about losing their hogs, didn't care about the man. But when they saw the man, and the scripture says this, said that they saw him clothed and in his right mind. So what's that teach us again, doesn't it? It teaches us, don't worry about what a person wears. Don't worry about what condition they are. Don't worry if they're a drug addict. Don't worry if they're an alcoholic. Don't worry if they're a womanizer. Teach them about Jesus. And when they come to Jesus, their life will change and it'll all be new. They'll be clothed in righteousness of Christ and they'll be guided into the things that is good and proper for them alone. Jesus can do that. Dress up or clean up. I want to be cleaned up, don't you? I want to look nice. And my wife does my dressing for me. Yeah, Dan, I just go, I don't know what I'm, you know, I pray that I go first. Because, you know, because if she goes first, I'll probably run around naked. Because she hangs my clothes. Yeah, yeah. She hangs my clothes on the door, you know. This is it, honey. This morning, I kind of scolded her this morning. You know what she does to me, Dan? She puts my shirt up there on the hanger, you know, and she puts two ties on it. Every Sunday, there's two ties on my hanger. And I said, why do you put two ties on there? So you can decide which one you want to wear. I said, I don't want to decide. I don't want to decide on that. You make that decision. And I'm so thankful I have someone, you know, that just hangs it on the door and I don't have to go in there and work her out. Dressed up. So she keeps me dressed. So if I'm poorly dressed, you'll know I've done it. Dressed up. But what I'm saying, Jesus, I mean, there's a strong indication. Doesn't make a difference about the person's condition and so forth. Bring them to Jesus. Don't criticize them. Just bring them to Jesus. There's a good song that says, bring them to Jesus, bring them to Jesus. Jesus will do for that person what you can't do and what is right and good and proper for that person. If they need their mind cleaned up, they'll do that. If they need their act cleaned up, they'll do that. If they need, you know, clothes cleaned up, they'll do that. I tell the story a long time ago, and I'll tell it again real quickly here. We were down at Burnside, Kentucky, and we were down at the Burnside Christian Church for 2 years down there. What a blessing it was to travel back and forth. We travel 5 hours each Sunday, and sometimes we go down and spend a weekend down there. It's kind of nice down on the lake and stuff, you know, and just to cruise around, be with the people. But we had a fellow down there, and I run this full page ad one time in the newspaper down there at in Somerset. Somerset, you know, Somerset's here, Burnside's right by. I run this full page ad. And so the next Sunday, a couple of the fellows from the church and I were standing out in front of the church house. And here's an old Jeep pulled up across the street. And caught my eye because, you know, I'm just an odd old Jeep. And this fella got out. Big guy. And he had on bib overalls and a t-shirt, tennis shoes, and no socks. But the thing I noticed is he had a big Bible on his arm. And I thought, uh-oh, this is one of them mountain guys. He's here to challenge me. Well, I put in a newspaper. Russ Foley was his name. Come to know Russ, it was Russ Foley. So he came across the street, and I shook him hand. He said, I'm Benny Robbins. He said, I'm Russ Foley, and so forth. So Russ, come on in. I saw the bib overalls and the t-shirt and the tennis shoes, no socks, didn't bother me. I just wanted to love the guy. Brought him in and we started the service, and I told people, want to introduce this gentleman over here, just met him here, he'd come over to church here. And his name's Russ Foley. And so we come to know him real well. He kept coming to church, and it wasn't long after that. Nobody said anything about nothing. We just loved him. And he invited us to, boy, he could cook up some good meals, but boy, he put that hot stuff in there. Robert, you haven't cooked anything as hot as Russ Foley could. I mean, it would burn you out, but boy, it was good. But old Russ, he kept coming to church. And one day, looked out and he got out of that Jeep and he was dressed just like this. I was taken back. Nobody ever said anything about it. We just loved him, you know. And Maxine said later, he said, he's got a girlfriend. Well, she was pretty well right. Later on, she did show up. But nevertheless, the thing I'm getting there is the fact, you know, I would have never said anything. There's a boy Snow was on a couple times, and we didn't have church here. And Lynn and I went to church down at Williamstown, this side of Williamstown. And this fellow down there, he preaches in bib overalls and a t-shirt. I don't think he wears tennis shoes without socks. But anyhow, he doesn't. So, you know, what makes a difference? I wasn't there to look and judge his clothes. I was there to hear what he had to say to me about Jesus, you know. That's all that counts. What about Jesus? What about Jesus in your life? Doesn't make any difference what you're wearing, dressed up, not. Jesus is all that counts. Jesus, are you dressed? Are you clothed in his righteousness? That's what counts, isn't it? I want to share as a close here some scriptures. You know, the Bible does talk about clothing, but I think it talks more about spiritual clothing than it does physical clothing. But you know, even from Genesis 3, when God killed the animals and made the little coats for Adam and Eve, down to Revelation 19, where it talks about the army that's in white linen and clothed in white linen and so forth. And I thought about some of these scriptures I'll share with you. Adam and Eve, they were naked and they sinned. The daughters of Israel, 2 Samuel 1:24, the daughters of Israel wept over Saul. Because King Saul, what King Saul did, he clothed them in scarlet and bought nice little trinkets for their clothing. 1 Chronicles 15:27, David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, says. And all the Levites and that bear the ark and the singers and Shemaiah, the master of the song with singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Psalms Job 2:14, he says, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem, he says. Psalms 93:1, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. Psalms 109:25, let mine adversaries be clothed with shame. Listen to this. Let my adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. And in Proverbs 31 talks about it. He talks about this woman, and he says, she is not afraid of snow for her household, nor her household are clothed in scarlet. Zephaniah 1:8, and it shall come to pass in the day the Lord sacrifice that I will punish the principals. Listen to what he says here. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such that are clothed in strange apparel. I think he's talking about the spiritual things. I don't think he's talking about the physical. I think he's talking about the spiritual when he says that. Yes, for many, Easter is just a ritual. I remember when I was growing up, about the only time I remember going to church much is we would go on Easter. And my mother would take us on Easter. And I was up a fairly good age at that. I was probably 12 years old before I remember going to church. But Easter was always the time we dressed up and went to church. And people would dress up and go to church. You know, my prayer through the recent days and on up through the Resurrection Sunday will be that people across the nation will dress up and go to church on Easter Sunday, you know, on Easter Sunday. That's nothing wrong with that at all. And that's good, you know. But then also in that prayer, I say, regardless of how they're dressed, I pray that people all over this nation will show up in the church house on Easter, honoring our God, seeking Jesus. You see, we can dress up, but the only thing that can clean us up from our sin is the blood of Jesus. We sing that song, Have You Been Washed in the Blood? Are your garments clean? Are they white as snow? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's all it's going to count come judgment day. It doesn't make any difference whether you're wearing a suit, jogging clothes, or whatever. The only thing that's going to count at judgment day, have you been washed in the blood of the Lord? Lamb, has your sins been washed away? I leave you with this morning. You can think about that. I made some remarks about clothes, but clothes doesn't make any difference to me. I wear what I wear because that's me. I could stand here in jeans and a shirt tail hanging out just the same. But somehow or another, I have the thought of respecting God, myself, and that's why I am here. And it doesn't make any difference who comes or what comes into this church house. You can wear tennis shoes with no socks, blue jeans with no shirt, whatever. We want to share Jesus with you. We want you to know that it doesn't make any difference about the dress. Because if you come to Jesus, he'll dress you up. He'll dress you up. What's that song that goes, Kathleen? I'm not what I used to be and not what I ought to be, but he's still working on me. Jesus does that. Jesus can take the poorest beggar and lift him out of poverty. He can take anybody and change their life. He talks about the new life in Christ Jesus. Paul was writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 6, and he said, know ye not as many of us have received Jesus, as many have been baptized in Jesus' remission of sin, have been raised in a new life. We are now clothed in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, the invitation, are you clothed in Jesus? have you put on Christ? That's what Paul says, Galatians 3:7, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. How are you clothed this morning? Are you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus? Or are you just dressed up? Do you need to be cleaned up? Jesus can do that. I don't know about all your lives. I know about mine. I know what Jesus did for me. I know what my life was until I was 37 years old. And I know what it is now. And I know who made the difference. And I can look at anybody. I can look at the richest man in this community, or the poorest man in this community. That same Jesus is welcoming them. We'll welcome today. He'll welcome you. We're going to sing an invitation here. We're going to sing the first verse only. And if you need to make a decision, rededicate your life, come to Jesus and accept him as your Savior, be baptized, wash away your sins, be raised in life of newness, come and do that. Whatever decision you might have to make, come as we stand and we sing the first verse only. Let's stand together, please. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Potter, I am the clay. Mary and make me as you will. I am waiting, yielded and still. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house this morning. It's so good to see you, as always. We know every week after week you're here. What an encouragement it is to see people who are certainly serious about their life, seriously about wanting God to work in their life and have the Lord Jesus to dwell with you, Holy Spirit work with you through the week. It's really encouraging to see so many out wanting that to happen in their lives. May God grant you through his work through the Holy Spirit as we walk with Christ. Might this be the best week that you ever spent in your life because you seek Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. God bless you. Have a great day. Don't forget about all the activities next weekend. It's going to have a great weekend. We're just going to praise God. We're going to go to the open tomb. We're going to see the resurrected Christ, and we're going to just rejoice as we celebrate what Jesus has done for us. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are. We have a God like you. And Heavenly Father, we certainly know that you look upon man's heart. And we know, Heavenly Father, if our heart is right with you, all other things will take care of itself. So, Heavenly Father, let us not be picky, let us not be critic, let us just share Jesus with people, Heavenly Father, of all walks of life, so that one day we'll all walk together in that great place called our heavenly home. Now, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for everybody that's here this morning. And again, I thank Heavenly Father for my niece and nephews and family that's here, and I just thank you for them, and I'm so overwhelmed by their presence here and so glad that to come and be with the church family, Heavenly Father. And so I just pray, Heavenly Father, for safety for them as they return home. And I pray, Heavenly Father, good things would come to them in their life. As we look to Jesus, we know that'll happen, Heavenly Father. Once again, we just thank you for your goodness, your love, the hope that we have through Christ Jesus. Now bless us all as we leave this place. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.